Gary was giving me a hard time as I finished my sermon a couple weeks ago. And he's like, everybody sees you get up there and they start smiling because they know that they're going to be out of here by 11:30 because you preach half as long as Gary does. So, of course, they're going to like you. But no, can't make that promise today that we'll be out of here that short. But it's always good to have a short preacher, as I've learned. But today, I want you to think back to when you were first baptized. I want you to remember how zealous and passionate you were for the Lord. That feeling that we tend to lose through the years. Think back, for some of you it may be longer, for some of you it may be within the past year maybe. Think back to that feeling that you could take on the world, you were going to go out and convert everybody within the first week, and how that burning feeling that you had for the Lord, that you were on fire for God. One person that portrays this trait perfectly is Mark Roberts, and I do an impersonation of him when he preaches, because he's a preacher that preaches very passionately and he gets very into it. But I only do it because he portrays it so perfectly of how passionate he is. And I really like that about him, because everybody knows that God is the most important thing in his life just by being able to watch him preach. Everybody is able to tell that God is number one in his life. Do we have that same burning feeling that he has, that we are constantly wanting to live for God? Not that it's almost a hassle for us to come to church and wanting to live for God each day. If not, we need to be thinking about God, because he should be the most important thing in our lives. Let's start by turning over to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and in verse 20. Galatians 2 and in verse 20 reads, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, he who loved me and gave himself for me. This is a verse that a lot of people read when they first become a Christian, and clicks with them of why they became a Christian, to be living for God. And we should all have God in our lives today, where when you read this and when you were baptized, you couldn't take God off your mind. That's all you were thinking about at school or at work, because we had that passion for the Lord. And he expects that from us. If we look over in Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God expects us to be doing those good works for him and through him. That is why it is so important to keep God on our minds. We need to be living for him, because he is just so much greater than us. Look over in Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah chapter 64 and in verse 8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are potter. And all we are the work of your hand. He uses the example of a potter with the clay. And that's how God is in our lives. He has all the control over us. He's able to make us do whatever we want, and he's that powerful. A commonly used verse that most of us have memorized over in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14 and in verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. But its way is the end, the way of death. Excuse me. It's so easy to get that mixed up with us, that we get our ways and God's ways mixed up, but we can't get those mixed up, because God obviously is the right way that we need to be following. There can't be an in-between. We need to be living for God, because it really isn't about us. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? It is the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. My mom would always threaten me with this verse of why I will never be getting a tattoo. Because everything in our lives, as this verse shows, is all God's, including even our body. We don't think about that at times, that stuff like this verse, including our bodies, it all belongs to God. In each day that we live, we have choices that we make if we're going to be living for God or doing what we want to do. Look over in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Matthew 7 and 13 through 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Brother Ed brought up a point at the end of Bible class this morning about this verse, that it's a journey that we're going to have to take. And I'm a runner, and when I think about this, out at Walnut Creek, there's two paths that you can take. There's a path around the lake that's just flat, nice and easy, or you can take the cross-country trail, which is just a horse trail that's windy and it has a bunch of hills, and that's how I kind of look at it. I mean, as a runner standpoint, I need to be taking a challenging course. I need to be able to challenge ourselves. And that's kind of how it is in this verse. There's an easy way that we can take, and that's what most people in the world take, because they don't want to have to live for God. They don't want to have that responsibility. But as Christians, we need to be able to follow that narrow path that isn't always the easiest choice, but in the end, we should know that it is the right choice to make. And look over where the scripture reading was at in Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Why do we live for God? As it says in verse 13, that we do it for his good pleasure. We should be living to please God on this earth. And how we can do that is seen in the very next verses, the following verses 14 through 16, as we read on in verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among you, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may have not run in vain or labored in vain. That is how we are to live for God. If you look over the things he mentioned, the first thing he mentions is, in my opinion, kind of funny. Do all things without complaining. Without complaining. I don't think I'm going to get an amen on that one, because we all complain at times. Just going to have to get an amen walls on that one. Amen walls. And then he goes on to say that we have to become blameless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. I mean, it's easy to tell right now that it's a pretty perverse generation out there. I mean, there's a bunch of wicked things going on. But we have to keep God in mind. And then it also continues down towards the end of verse 15. Whom you shine as lights in the world. You need to be shining examples and sticking out from others. And then lastly it says holding on fast. You could really think about that as holding on. You know, we have to hold on through, as it says earlier, the crooked and perverse generation. It's not going to be easy. That's why we need to be able to hold on and living for God. Look in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Once again, my mom, she tells me a lot of stuff. And this is one of those verses that she would always say that, you know, you're different. You should stand out. You should be the shining light. And as Christians, I think it's important that we do shine out, stand out, hopefully for the better, I'm hoping. And be shining examples. I mean, we need to be able to lead by example. In the workplace, people should be able to say, he's trustworthy, we can count on them in all things. Being nice to the customers is a big one, that people are able to see the little things that we do and to know that we are Christians and we are living for God. Look over in Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16 and in verse 9. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. One way that we can do that is by, it says in verse 9, let the Lord direct our steps. If we let the Lord into our lives when we live, the choices we make are going to be a lot smarter. Also in Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. Starting in verse 1. My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live in my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. The same verse is also brought up in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on your doorposts and of your house, and on your gates. As it said in this verse, we need to have God's word on our mind, and it should constantly be on our minds, because if you think about it, when you have something on your mind, obviously you're going to be thinking about it. And when you're thinking about that, you're going to make choices off what you're thinking about. Those choices, whenever we have God on our mind, would most likely be smarter. And when we have God's word on our mind, and we're living for him, it helps us not to get wrapped up in the things of this world. It's so easy to get caught up in trying to outdo our neighbors or our friends in the things of this world. And we can't be so focused on stocking up on our earthly treasures, but more the spiritual treasures that will be worth it in the end when we reach heaven. Look over in 1 John. 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. We cannot love the things of this world too much. We have to keep what's most important in our lives on our mind. As it says in the end of verse 16, if you are not of the Father, but it is not of the Father, but is of the world. We can't be caught up in the world. We have to be living for God. And that's why one thing that I try to make a conscious effort to do when I pray is one thing that I have a pattern of doing is saying, please help us as we go out into this week to focus on what is most important in our lives. Because it's so easy to get caught up in things of this world, but when we keep what is most important in our minds, and that is God and getting to heaven, it helps us to reach that goal of getting to heaven with Him someday. We cannot forget God at all. And at times it's easy to lose track of who we're serving or why we even got baptized in the first place. The worldly pleasures and the things of this world can override us at times, and especially other people can too, as it says in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And in verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. We have to ask ourselves, who are we trying to please on this earth? Our friends, our neighbors, or men? Or are we trying to live for God? It's so easy to try and impress other people. I mean, we lose track of what is most important in our lives. Like I said earlier, we should be trying to be a shining example, sticking out, not trying to blend in with other people that are at school or at the workplace, but sticking out and living for God. Look over in James chapter 4. James chapter 4, and in verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. We should be doing things based off if the Lord wills it. If the Lord wills it, then we should be going off of what He says. One helpful thing that can help us to remember of what God would have us to do, Brother Floyd had one a while back. They say WWJD, what would Jesus do? And they're helpful wristbands that they have. And think about that when you're out and about doing something and you look down and see, what would Jesus do? Sitting at home on the weekend watching TV, look down and see the wristband, what would Jesus do? Probably turn off that TV and start going upstairs and reading that Bible. This is probably what Jesus would do. And it can help us to really focus on, once again, what is most important in our lives. TV really isn't going to do that much for us. But by living for God and doing what He would want us to do, it's going to help us out a lot more. Well, one thing not to get confused on is, many of you know Dean, who was staying up here with us this summer, my sister's boyfriend. He was living with us a couple weeks this summer. I decided to change that little saying to WWDD, what would Dean do? And, well, I love Dean to death, but I'm going to have to go with God on this one, that God is more important than Dean, and that we need to be following Him and not our own self. And it's a good thing I went with WWJD, because if it was for Dean, I would have been watching a lot of TV this summer. And another thing that we can do is something that we all have. I mean, Mr. Dave's not here to harass him, but he has a cell phone. I'm not even sure if he knows how to use it, but he has it. And on those phones, you can create a banner in the back in just a couple characters long. You can put a good Bible verse up there. I know Marshall, on the back of his phone, has Philippians 4:13 in the background. Just simple verses like that, or maybe a quote, like on the back of my phone, I have, live for God. So every time I go and open my phone before I maybe am texting, probably not though, I mean, I wouldn't text, but every time I open it up, I see, live for God. And it's little things like that that can stick with you when you're doing things. And I know Philippians 4:13 is a verse that Marshall goes by a lot. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's great motivational verses like that that can help us to stay focused also. Maybe it's not on your phone, just putting a sticky note on the fridge every morning before you go out, or a sticky note on the computer, something that you're on a lot that can help you just to stay focused in life. And look over in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, in verses 7 through 8. Galatians 6, verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Just verse 7, excuse me. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Whatever we are putting into our lives, if we're just watching all that TV and not studying our Bible, that's what we're going to get out of it. If we're not putting in the time and focusing on living for God by reading our Bible, studying Him, and praying to Him, we're not going to see the benefits of that in our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and in verse 31. "Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." And all those things that we're doing each day in our lives, we should be giving all of the glory and all of the credit to God. And that's one thing that I'm so impressed by Marshall. As I said earlier, we're runners. And right now he's ranked number one in the state. He's been undefeated all year. But every time after a race he does good, he gets on Facebook. He doesn't say, "I ran awesome. I did so good today." He's not cocky, I wouldn't say. He's confident. But he'll put a Bible verse up on Facebook. He'll be like, "God is so good." And then he'll put, for example, Philippians 4:13. And I know that all the competitors that he runs against can see that. And they can just see that he doesn't take credit for how good he does. He sees that he's giving God the glory. And that's what we need to do, to give God, give God the glory to all things of who we're living for each day. One last verse in Revelations chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, starting in verse 2. "I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have preserved them and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent." The problem that he had with them here is in verse 4, that they had left their first love. That's why I wanted you to think back at the beginning of this lesson, why did you become a Christian in the first place? That first love, that we should be living for God each and every day that we live. That we cannot lose sight of that first love, and that was the main reason for becoming a Christian, that burning zeal, and we should have that contagious, positive attitude on us when we come to church, that we're living for God. We should try and get that back in our church as we're going to be teaching others, hopefully in the next upcoming months, as we're learning in our Bible classes. We're going to be having them come in to our church and seeing how we are. We want them to see that we are faithful servants of Christ, living for God each day and living for God. And we can start today by dedicating our lives for God and never losing sight of that first love. At this time we have, if you are not a Christian, would like to start dedicating your life to Christ. Or if you have already become a Christian, but have not been living for God each day, as you know you should. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing this song?